We want people being discipled by Jesus. Therefore, they have to encounter the Word of God for themselves. It's not about them accepting my understandings of Scripture. It's about them engaging the Word of God so they hear God and then they begin to put it into obedience. The approach that we use is called a three-column study because it involves three columns. It's really, you know, simple because that's what it needs to be able to be replicated. What you basically have people do is take a piece of paper, and I'd rather have it turned wide, but we can do it either way, and divide it into three columns. On the left is the text. They need to either write out, type out, download, and put the text that they're going to be studying in this left-hand column. If it's an oral culture, you know, some of you are going to Honduras and maybe not everybody there reads or writes, it's going to be about them hearing the Word of God. The second column is to retell in their own words. What does this passage say? Who's involved? What's going on? In this column, you basically want to be sure that you involve all of the information that you would answer with what I call the journalistic questions. Who, what, when, where, why, how. Those are the things that reading comprehension, oral comprehension are all based on. Who's writing? Who's he writing it to? Who are the people that they're supposed to be impacting? What action takes place if it's a narrative section of Scripture? What goal is desired if people put this into practice? But you want to retell, including this information, that type of information, the journalistic questions. You know, the kinds of things that a good newspaper article are going to involve. You want to use that kind of approach with retelling the biblical passage. And then the final column is, how will I apply this? And this one, early on, you need to require a hard, fast rule that everything you write in this third column begins with the words, I will. Because everybody is more than happy to apply a passage to somebody else. They ought to, she should, my son ought to, whatever, but this is about me hearing Jesus and obeying him. And so they need to begin, these statements need to begin with, I will. And then you just fill in the rest of it, what you're going to do to obey this passage. Now, you've received a one-page handout. Everybody have one of these? That goes into a little more detail that can be helpful in some of these. Be careful, though, that you don't start with this. Because this becomes a taskmaster that often blocks people from really engaging the text. What I would encourage you to do is, you know, print out a text in the left-hand column for people that are going to start out. Have them read it and just rewrite it in their own words down the middle. And then write out I will statements. Have them turn it into you. Have them discuss it in small groups as a part of the process. Have them think about those I will statements. What you're going to do to obey it? What you're going to do to put it into practice? And then go back and introduce them to this and help them with those journalistic questions. Help them to think a little more detail about this application called SPEC. Is there a sin for me to avoid? Is there a promise for me to claim? Is there praise to give? Is there a prayer to praise? Is there an example I should follow? Is there a command for me to obey? Is there knowledge for me to learn? Thinking about some of these applications, you know, from at the top right-hand column, ideas from 2 Timothy 3:16, teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. people engaging with passages. What did you like about the passage? What did you not like about the passage? Sometimes people will open up and they'll reveal some of their worldview if you'll ask those kinds of questions. A lot of times we're not comfortable because it's the Word of God and we want to hold it up. Not trying to denigrate it in any way, but we need these people to be honest. We need to teach them a methodology that they can then go and teach someone else. On those counterintuitives, one of the goals is we want them to lead the Bible studies. We want them to disciple themselves to conversion. They need a simple, easily replicated Bible study approach. Three columns can happen anywhere. When I was tasked to do this training in inductive Bible study in Sierra Leone, I took passages from Acts and from Ephesians that overlapped. The Acts 19 passages, I broke it down into two sections because of how long it is. Acts 20, where Paul meets with those Ephesian indigenous leaders, the Ephesian elders, and he reminds them of what's gone on. And then I took three passages out of Ephesians sections. I had 10 copies of each of those six passages. I just randomly handed them out, had them get together in groups that had the same passage. And they worked on it for a while. Then they went home that night and they spent the evening writing up their three-column study of their assigned passage. The next day I had them sit together in groups, because I only had 3 days to try to get them involved in this. And they were to select one group member who would stand up and read through their retelling. Then a second member who would read through their I will statements. Okay, none of the groups had interacted with each other. So we start with the first one in Acts 19, the second one in Acts 19, then Acts 20. Then we go to those three passages from Ephesians. And all of a sudden, they're realizing, hey, we were all studying Paul's involvement in Ephesus. The reason I selected those passages is because David had given me an assignment in preparation for some training I was going to go through with him in San Jose the following January, where he said, you need to be prepared to present your own theology of church planting movements. Where would I go in Scripture? Well, I got to select the passages, and I wanted to see how they would work through the passages I would want people to go to. Rather than jumping around and connecting just different verses, which is a valid approach, but it's always, its strength and weakness is contingent on who's doing the connecting. I wanted them to spend some time in passages that were connected, and they brought their insights, and then we started in a process of trying to distill out of their insights principles related to church planting movements. The best biblical example of a church planting movement is Paul's 3 years in the province of Asia. The church at Colossae was founded during that time, and yet Paul never went to Colossae. When he writes his letter to the Colossians, he talks about the fact he's never met them. Epaphras is the one who's brought them to the Lord. Who's Epaphras? I'm convinced he's somebody that Paul discipled in being a disciple maker in Ephesus. And he goes out. The seven churches of Asia Minor that are referred to there in Revelation 2 and 3, I can't prove it, but I suspect all seven of those churches were planted during Paul's 3 years in the city of Ephesus. His influence was so great in Acts chapter 19, the silversmith said, Paul is ruining our business. If we keep on, the goddess Artemis won't even be worshipped anymore, because he says there are no man-made gods. This approach is very simple. any person you are working with who's able to read and write can do a 3-column study. If they cannot read, they can do it orally. You read the passage, or they have somebody else who reads the passage, and then they retell it in their own words. But they have to go to the third step. What are we going to do to obey it? That's what is missing in much of American Christianity, in my judgment. We got these big heads of knowledge. What are we doing with it? Now, even getting this list on your paper isn't enough. Assign the passage. Everybody takes it home and works on it. You talk about it this week. Then the next week when you get back together, you ask about how did it go? Practicing your I will statements. Now, see, you get to influence that process because you select the passages on the front end. That's where your knowledge of God's Word, that's where your knowledge of their heart, that's where your willingness to hear the Holy Spirit is going to be so important to this process. But their answers aren't going to come from you. They're going to come from them engaging the Word of God and discovering what God's saying to them. In the jail ministry that I referred to, one of the guys who took hold of aspects of this study shared with me his process. As a part of his daily reading, he would always spend time in one of the Gospels because Jesus is the one we're following, and I need to be hearing from Jesus. That was one of his daily, he always did it. The other thing is, on the first day of the month, he would read the first chapter of Proverbs. Second day of the month, he would read the second chapter. Third day of the month, well, you know, most months have 30 days or 31 days, so he'd get pretty well through. February, he'd have to fast forward. 12 times a year, he's read through Proverbs. What he found was every time he went through the second time, God called his attention not to the same proverb, but to different proverbs, different words about making good choices. Everyone who's done that in that jail has told me, John, I'm here because I did not act with wisdom. I was a fool. I wasn't practicing what God's Word's teaching to me. This method is not about getting the right answers. It's about living differently under God's direction.